Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing in our journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to see what Jude meant when he pronounced an everlasting and eternal condemnation upon the heretics who bring in false doctrine and ungodly teaching into the house of God. So let's read verse 11 of Jude together. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. For pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, we're continuing to look at what Jude meant when he said, woe unto them. And as I mentioned on the last broadcast, this is not the same thing as Jude just saying, shame on them. No, this statement by Jude is much more serious than that. The woe that Jude is giving to the heretics here in verse 11 is given in the same way that Jesus issued his condemnation to those who fought against the truth while he was on the earth. Let's look at Matthew 23:13-39, when Jesus said, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you blind guides who say whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. You fools and blind men, what is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, 8 times in this passage, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God pronounced eternal damnation on those who resisted his grace. 7 times, the gentle Nazarene called these wicked men hypocrites. So was Jesus just blowing off steam? Was the Son of God so mad that he just lost his cool? Was Jesus out of order? Was Jesus operating in legalism? Was Jesus unchristian at this point? Had Jesus lost his love and mercy? Was Jesus wrong for calling these men blind and hypocrites and for damning them? No, he was not wrong. He had not lost his cool. He was absolutely right for saying what he said to these wicked and evil men who had taken the glorious grace of God and turned it into something horrible. Jesus was perfectly correct for condemning these men to an everlasting hell for perverting the right way of the Lord. You see, Jesus and Jude and the apostles understood what we don't seem to understand today. These certain persons that Jude was talking about, the heretics and hypocrites that Jesus publicly condemned, the apostates that the church has been fighting over for 2,000 years now, are not innocent people. They are not well-meaning but wayward souls. They are not just simply putting forth a different opinion about some obscure verses of Scripture. No, they are not simply offering a different interpretation of the Bible. No. The Bible clearly says that these certain persons are sought out or ordained for this condemnation. They are predestined before the foundation of the world to do what they do, and they will be judged severely by God for doing it. They are people who on purpose and with premeditation and with malice and forethought creep into the church of Jesus Christ for the purpose of destroying it. They turn the grace of God into licentiousness, and they deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said they are accursed, which means they can never be saved. John told us in 2 John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to not even invite them into your home or bid them Godspeed. Jesus said they make people to be a twofold child of hell. Now this is serious stuff, beloved. It is serious to take the inspired word of the living God and twist it to mean what you want it to mean. It is very serious to write a book and put forth your own take on what God said by manipulating the word of God to mean something that it just simply doesn't mean. It is serious to go on television and tell people that God told you something when God didn't say anything. It is serious to get on the radio and tell people that God wants to heal them and bless them as long as they give money to you. God doesn't take that kind of wickedness lightly, and we shouldn't either. Jesus is often portrayed as being someone who was much too gentle and delicate to ever engage in anything like this, but we find that the inspired word of the living God says that he did. Jesus called those whose religion was the enemy of grace fools. Now, once again, we have to understand that Jesus was not just calling these people names. No, by Jesus calling these heretics fools, he was placing a moral judgment upon them. I want you to notice in this passage that Jesus also called these apostates hypocrites, blind guides, serpents, and a generation of vipers. This shows the utter contempt and rejection of these evil men by the Lord. This goes back to what we've already studied in our journey through Jude. I want you to go back to verse 4 and read with me. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. This verse and the passage that we just read where Jesus is rebuking the wicked Pharisees shows us a very hard truth about heresy. Heresy, in a biblical sense, is much more than simply being off base about the Scriptures. People are off base all the time. People get the wrong interpretation all the time. People's theology is inconsistent all the time, most of the time. And while that's not okay, it doesn't mean that everybody is a heretic. But there is such a thing as real heresy, and real genuine heresy is not innocent, dear friends. Heresy is premeditated. Heresy is wicked. It is evil, and both Jude and Jesus and all the others in the Bible harshly and severely condemned it. Now let's read verse 11 again together. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Jude is telling us here that these unreasoning animals, these certain men who have crept into the church, these spiritual terrorists who lie in spiritual sleeper cells and await the right moment to blow up their dirty bombs of false teaching, are compared to three Old Testament people. Number one, Cain. Number two, Balaam. And number three, Korah. God the Holy Spirit inspired Jude to say that the heretics don't just bear some vague physical resemblance to these three men. No, notice that Jude is very specific about the attributes of the heretics. He says the heretics are like these three Old Testament characters in three specific ways. Number one, they go. Number two, they run. They rush headlong. And number three, they perish. Jude tells us that the heretics who preach false doctrine and who deceive simple-minded and shallow people go in the way of Cain. They rush headlong after the error of Balaam for pay, and they perish in the rebellion of Korah. So in order for us to comprehend exactly what Jude is telling us here, I want to take each of these three attributes individually and look at them. The first one that we need to look at is the man named Cain. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 17, and find this man. Now, the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do well, sin. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain told Abel his brother. And it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain, so that no one finding him would slay him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, dear friends. But please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.